Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Welcome back, Savage Truthers. Thank you for tuning in. 50 episodes. Yes, we have arrived at 50 episodes. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going along, and I am ecstatic, of course, to have the platform and the opportunity to be able to vent and to connect and speak to the choir. Recognize that most of us all agree, but also to those who are or may not necessarily be on our side, to be have an opportunity to make headway. And before we get into that, because that's important to speak to, I want to ask you this as always, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into this week in this 50th episode. And right now, if you're watching your TV screens, it's all about what these losers are doing on college campuses and what college presidents are not doing. And of course, the Bidenite camp is not speaking to. But really quickly, I need to address this one thing to really get into my frustration about it, because it is just that. It's frustrating and so ridiculously unnerving to me. I'm sure you've heard, or you're about to hear if you haven't, the judge presiding over New York versus Trump trial in Manhattan, this Judge Juan Merchan, granted former President Donald Trump permission to attend his son, baby Barry, this past Tuesday. He granted permission for him to actually attend his son's graduation in Florida next month. And here's what he said, the judge. I don't think the May 17th date is a problem. Now, as you know, as I have stated, this entire trial is a farce. We all think so. I think a whole lot of people on the other side even know it, even though they won't admit it. This is a complete joke, a complete waste of time, a complete waste of taxpayers' money, and a complete waste of news media footage, right? Shouldn't be happening. Trump should be out on the campaign trail. He should be out connecting with the American people. After all, the man is running for another bout at presidency, connecting with new demographics that are now jumping off the Democratic ship, too. And he should be prepping for debates, to which we still don't know or even believe will actually happen. And don't think I'm encouraged by Joe Biden's comment about debating Trump when he was on the Howard Stern show, okay? If this were going to happen, we would have dates by now. And I think we do have dates now that I've actually, since I wrote this show and I looked it up, we actually do have dates, at least for the first one. The Commission on Presidential Debates will proceed with its original schedule despite requests from Donald Trump's campaign for earlier events. Why? Donald Trump's team has asked for events earlier than usual. Why? Why would they do that? Why would they deny that? Because they know Joe Biden needs as much prep as and needs to avoid this kind of outlet in order to remain somewhat viable. So if there is going to be any debates at all, they will be occurring in the fall. I believe the first one is in September. Trump, for months, has repeatedly called on Joe Biden to join him on the debate stage. We all know this. Howard Stern hosted Biden last week, and Joe Biden confirmed his intentions to debate. If I believe that. I am, and I quote, I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him. So, you know, we'll believe that only when we see it. Not when the debate is set, not at an announcement, only when we are all sitting down zeroed in on a screen, right? And the broadcast is actually happening. That's when we'll actually believe that this debate will actually happen. Donald Trump says, I will debate him any day, anytime, anywhere. So, Trump's campaign's manager, Chris LaCivita, and Susie Wiles have argued in a statement that the move by the commission is unacceptable. And I agree. They extended an invitation to every television network in America that wishes to host a debate and urged the Biden campaign to coordinate to set up a debate as soon as possible. Now, earlier this year, the Trump campaign actually wrote a letter to the commission to request that the debate schedule be expanded and moved up on the calendar. But Biden, Joe Biden, having to save face on the Howard Stern show, said he would debate Trump, and the comment, I quote, I am somewhere, and I repeat, I am somewhere, I don't know when, I'm happy to debate him. Now I find that doubtful, right? Trump pounced on the comment, asserting that he was eager to debate under any condition at any time. Here's his comment, and I quote the great Donald J. Trump. Everyone knows he doesn't really mean it, but in case he does, I say anywhere, anytime, any place, spoken like a true fighter. Now, prior to the Stern interview, the Biden camp tried to play coy about Joe Biden's willingness to debate, as if to characterize Trump's emphasis on the question as desperate, right? They're trying to play coy, like, oh, Joe Biden, he's willing to debate. He'll debate him anytime. He'll beat him. He'll win. Now, remember, Joe Biden commented, if I were him, I would want to debate me too. He's got nothing else to do. This has been fun, this presidency. It's been fun doing this podcast because there's just all these quips of comedy, especially coming out of the Biden administration. This is coming from someone who has a campaign schedule that is full of open dates with nothing scheduled, trying to actually run a presidency from his basement, avoiding topics and headline issues, while Trump, who is stuck in a dank, cold courtroom, leaves immediately afterwards every single time, takes time with the press, answers questions, gives comments, acknowledges the supporters, goes over and signs autographs, shakes their hands, thanks them for their support, asks for their support if they're not necessarily on his side. He even answers to those who are heckling him, right? But he's met most of the time outside the courtroom to people who are cheering him. He takes a glorious, resounding ride through the heart of Harlem, New York, receiving cheers and jeers and hoorays. Trump, 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 right? I would have been out there in the heart of Harlem doing the exact same thing. Then goes and rallies with more supporters and gains more support and record-breaking fundraising, right? This man is tireless. This is the man that I want to be president again. That's my president. Trump wants to debate. He's eager to do so. Why? Because he knows and believes the people deserve to hear from the candidates as soon and as often as possible. The Trump team knows, as well as the Biden camp knows, that Joe is doomed once those debates occur. I mean, at this point, us on this side of common sense, don't need further proof that Biden is wrong for the country, wrong for the American people, right? I think we've gotten this. Wrong for the future of America, wrong for capitalism, a strong economy, a border security, military strength and presence. He's wrong for public safety, even though the Democratic Party of 2020 was pro-defund the police and now have reverted back. Okay, let's not let them pigeonhole that. Let's not allow them to memory hole that. Okay, we got to remind them that they were all about defunding the police, the summer of love. You know, there's peaceful protests here while they're reporting and buildings are blowing up and things are on fire and people are fighting. Okay, he's wrong. He's wrong for the First Amendment. He's wrong for the Second Amendment. Hell, he's wrong for all of them. He's wrong for the entire Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. He's just wrong for children. He's wrong for women. He's wrong for sports. He's just wrong. He's a terrible candidate. He's a terrible president. He's a non-leader, a corrupt political hack who is in competition with Obama to be the most socialist, most Marxist, most communist president in the history of America, to the demise and detriment of the greatest nation ever conceptualized and existed. Thank you, God. So, the first presidential debate is scheduled for September 16th at Texas State University in San Marcos, Texas. And the second debate will be in Petersburg, Virginia on October 1st. And the third will be held in Salt Lake City on October 9th. As if Joe Biden could last any of them. I mean, did you see the footage, you guys? I don't know. It's going around. Look it up, okay? Because I'll figure that out. But he's literally trying to eat and he couldn't wrestle this lettuce off this plate. I mean, this is a guy who knows the nuclear codes, right? He has the codes. This is crazy. A vice president debate is scheduled for September 25th in Easton, Pennsylvania. Kamala, Kiki, debating. I'm going to hold a party for the vice president debates. I just decided just now. Now, I'm not much of a drinker, but for that night, I'll be hosting a drinking game. And every time Kamala laughs, everyone takes a shot. Okay? So I won't be sober enough to do a show the very next morning, but neither will anyone else in that party. So, anyhow, back to this Judge Juan Merchan, right? Because I tend to veer off. I get excited. Okay? I get passionate. Who is, quote unquote, allowing Trump to attend his baby son's graduation. Isn't Barry great? What a good-looking, tall, respectable child. He's just so very blessed. He's got this gorgeous mother, right? He's got this strong, accomplished, amazing father, Donald Trump. He's got these great brothers, wonderful family. Oh, what a blessed kid. Donald Trump has pushed for weeks to attend his son Barry's high school graduation on May 17th. This political hack judge, in the beginning of this whole fiasco, said he was considering it. Considering it, right? Leaving Trump to wonder how this guy was going to actually decide on whether or not he was going to allow him to attend his last son's graduation. And the matter was left in limbo until this past Tuesday, with Trump speculating earlier this month he would be denied leaving Manhattan for the event. Sick. This is sick. This is what they do. They play these games, and we have to sit here and watch it. Earlier this month, Trump commented on this, though, of course. Now, as a parent, this was literally just so very heartbreaking to me. I can't imagine missing a milestone like this, a significant event like this, my child's graduation. And this, by the way, is why people are resonating with Trump, because of treatment like this, right? Because what they do, again, is that they pluck Trump out and they put themselves in and they realize, like, wow, what would that be like if I were treated like that, right? I can see myself, I can't imagine how I would feel if I were in court and my child was graduating and a judge didn't have enough decency to allow court to subside for one day so that I can attend my child's graduation, right? They put themselves in Trump's place, and then he grows more popular, right? Because we can recognize that these are horrendous positions that he's been put in. Barron's, and I quote, let me quote Trump here. Barron's a great student, and he's very proud of the fact he did so well and was looking forward for years to having his graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. Now, he was saying that at the start or the kickoff of the trial, because Trump, when he had to go into this ridiculous waste of time, money and effort and footage, asked that right away. Okay, I have to be here. It's ridiculous that I'm here, but can I at least, on May 17th, my son is graduating. Will you allow me to go at least, you know, attend this graduation? So it's unclear if trial proceedings will pause on May 17th or if the president will simply be absent from the courtroom that day, which falls on a Friday. Barron Trump attends a private high school near Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in South Florida. So this judge violates the First Amendment, penning a gag order. This all just literally just turns my gut, folks, right? It makes me ill. But this judge literally violates the First Amendment, penning a gag order on Donald Trump, literally telling Trump he can't speak. Yes, by the way, pinch yourself, look around. This is America, right? This is still America, folks. This isn't China, not Russia, America. An American judge telling an American he can't speak. This is what's happening, and this is where we're headed. It is upon us right now. It is literally happening. So on Tuesday, Merchan ordered Trump to pay $9,000 in fines for violating a gag order that bans him from speaking publicly about witnesses and family members of court officials. The judge found he violated the order on 9 separate occasions, with each violation resulting in a $1,000 fine. I'm literally exhausted and irritated even having to report this, right? The judge detailed in the order that if Trump carries out continued willful violations of the gag order, he could face incarceratory punishment if necessary and appropriate. Really? You're going to throw somebody in jail or even threaten to throw someone in jail because he's speaking? The man is running for president. He can't speak about his own situation. I mean, what is this, China? Can you believe that? You are in this unprecedented trial where there is no crime, by the way, Okay. Someone still needs to help me understand what the actual crime is. You're supposed to be on the campaign trail, connecting to the American people. You're running for a bout at the presidency in America, and a judge tells you you can't speak. Now, that's not going to go over well with the American people. Okay. It's not going over well with me. I'm sure it's not going over well with you. But I think, again, the importance of this show isn't just to connect to the choir, right? It's not just about speaking to people who all agree. But remember that the third party is watching, okay? And they know as well, right? If you're actually able to sit down and put aside personalities and all your biases, you recognize this is wrong. It's wrong. And no matter what side of the political side you're on, and you know this is wrong. It's wrong for this conflicted judge to do it. It's wrong when CNN does it. They block Donald Trump's comments whenever they cover him and he starts speaking to the American people because they're so threatened and worried. And they see the consensus that the whole of America, right, is starting to recognize that Donald Trump is what's best for America. They'll actually bleep him, or they'll mute him, or they'll turn away the camera, right, and start speaking over his comments. It's wrong, and it's driving people towards him, not away. I mean, at this point, the Biden administration is almost campaigning for Trump. The contrast is so very glaring. Trump's a winner for sure. Trump is still dominating the political landscape, folks. This is great. The train is gaining steam and you can't stop it. Choop, choop. But what we're witnessing is, as I said, Democratic policies eating its own. What we're seeing are Biden brats. We're watching on the screen as they storm college campuses and break into college halls, blocking doorways to classrooms and routes of students to attend class. Biden brats, okay? They were taught and awarded in the Biden administration and in 2020. And now the baby wants more than its nook, and Daddy Joe can't satisfy them. Now, what we've been watching for the last 12, 13, maybe 14 days, especially like on the campus of Columbia in particular, right? New York is just this hotbed of confusion. In 2020, 2021, it was Minneapolis, right? But now we're focused on New York. Columbia has been an occupied circus, okay? That's what we've been seeing, where they're breaking down doors. They're, you know, smashing in windows. They're crowding up the halls. They're chanting genocide. They're taking down American flags and putting up Palestinian flags. Right. We're seeing nothing but chaos. Right. They're preventing students from attending class. And these are the baby brats. Right. This is who you see laying on the floor behind me. These are Biden brats. They were taught and awarded in the Obama administration, even. And in 2020. And now the babies want more of its nook and they can't get satisfied. Right. Daddy Joe can't satisfy them. Dr. Jill is nowhere to be found. And Kamala Kiki is of no help. Heck, she just assumed show up where these kids are and play a raunchy hip hop cut and start a twerk fest on campus, right? So you can't count on her. These are Biden's spoiled brats. And until there are consequences, they'll continue. They're indulged by their parents and their professors, and they're encouraged by their professors as well, and their president. They will continue to misbehave until they are punished for their bad behavior. But someone needs to say, the presidents of these universities who acquiesce, who give in, they threaten deadlines and consequences and don't follow through, they should be terminated. They should be ousted. Take them out of there. They're afraid of the student body, showing absolutely no leadership. Remember what happened in Minneapolis when a mayor and a governor of Minnesota were unable and or unwilling, right, to show leadership. The entire country was in mayhem. These students, these anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, Columbia University brats, took over the building, the Hamilton House building, and started ordering pizzas. So while they're vandalizing, okay, get this, while they're breaking locks and busting down doors and cracking windows and infiltrating hallways and blocking doorways in dorm rooms and preventing people from attending class, they actually stopped and asked if the university would feed them, give them drink, and they wanted to order pizzas and Chipotle and expected that because we pay tuition here. And just because you don't agree with us doesn't mean that we should be starved. right? This is the audacity, entitlement of these no-count, worthless students. The university announced that it was going to expel students who didn't move from the occupied campus, but of course, they didn't follow through. Now, Manel Shafik should be fired. And I said that on the last episode, and I still mean it, and I'll say it again in this one. The Biden administration is silent, and so is the Board of Trustees of Columbia University. These are some of the prestigious people, folks, including former Obama DHS Secretary Jay Johnson. We're talking about David Greenwald, former chairman of Goldman Sachs. We're talking about Adam Pritzker, cousin of billionaire Illinois Governor J.B., and a leftist organizer in his own right, and many, many other ultra-liberal types have governing authority at the university as members of the Board of Trustees. And yet, they're all silent. Talk about profiles and courage. Every time a deadline was set for the brats to disperse, it was ignored, and the university just kept extending the deadline until the students decided, what the heck, let's just storm the building. Let's really make some waves. Look at how real universities handle these left-wing students and their temper tantrums. Now, you know me because of my state envy, right? You know I have state envy of the great state and the free state of Florida. I have to compare this situation because after some pro-Hamas students kicked up a fuss at the University of Florida, the school issued this statement saying, this is not complicated. The University of Florida is not a daycare, and we do not treat protesters like children. They know the rules, they broke the rules, and they'll face the consequences. I love it. And now what? No more protests. Students in Florida are doing what? They disperse, they're attending classes, and they're learning. Meanwhile, back at the Democrat donkey ranch, the coddled costume-wearing cowards and their REI tents on Columbia are part of the Gen Z, right? They've been schooled to believe that emotion trumps knowledge and reason. And as a result, students are being beat up, they're being jumped, they're being attacked, they're being blocked from attending classrooms. Classrooms have actually been canceled and rescheduled with no announcement as to when they're going to reconvene. Hopefully some have gone on web, but they have classes canceled, and the president hides and cowards. So, for those who need a snapshot, here's one. This is what it's like when Dems are in power. Okay? Just so you know, this is what's going to happen for the next continued 4 years if you put this guy back in office. Showing lack of power, right? Showing complete weakness and fear and cowardice. While DeSantis is in Florida, he practices the FAFO method. Now you know what that means. So you choose. Savage truth, I think we're in the need for some of that right now, okay? The donkey party has shown its inability to address and counteract rising tensions and ideological extremism on college campuses, particularly concerning anti-Semitic protests. This is, without a doubt, a double standard here, playing out before our eyes. Seemingly, okay? Seemingly is the word. The Democrat Party takes a seemingly reactive stance on issues of hate speech and discrimination. Policies that should be proactive are often rolled out only after significant damage has occurred, and even then, they may lack the teeth to effect real change. Democrat leaders are slow, if not silent, to condemn instances of anti-Semitism out of fear of alienating progressive constituents. But this will, without a doubt, implode from the inside out. The Savage Truth is, for this week, is everything we're seeing is the result of the socialist Marxist establishment. They run all the universities. They select the student body. They hire the deans and the faculty. They hire the president. And they wanted to turn these schools into hotbeds of radicalism, not to teach them the successes of Western civilization, but to hate anything that is American, to hate law and order, anything that is good, anything that is traditional, anything that is truly productive. They wanted these kids to spew anti-American bile, and it worked. Only problem is they weren't expecting the pea soup to actually be projected onto them. This is the natural outcome of communist policies for decades in the making. You got to get that. This is manifestation of their efforts, the fruit of their labor. And until it is halted, it won't just continue. It will multiply and metastasize and destroy our country and its existence as we know it. This is an unfortunate but savage truth for the week. Now, really quickly, because I have to adjust to this and then I'm going to end this show. This whole effort by Marjorie Taylor Greene needs to stop. Why, folks? I'm going to be really quick with this. I'm going to be very simple about it. Because we don't have a game plan. We don't want a majority Senate and a majority Congress. We only have we can only afford a one-off vote from Republicans and we lose the House. Okay? We need Donald Trump to enter into the presidency with a majority Congress and hopefully a Senate. After that, we can kind of play politics behind the scenes and we can get him out. I agree. I think he's doing an okay job, if not bad job. But right now, we need to stay focused on getting Donald Trump across the finish line. That should be our focus, okay? We can't allow the Democrat donkeys to infiltrate. We don't want Donald Trump in with the majority Senate and a majority Congress because they will impeach, okay? That's the savage truth. Stay focused. We have a presidency we need to get across the finish line, and we have a country to save. That is the ultimate savage truth for the 50th episode. Please like, subscribe, share, and leave a positive review. And always remember, be what? Be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.